Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. While House Speaker Paul Ryan dallies with Donald Trump, some actual business is going on in Congress, in particular, two cybersecurity bills in the Senate, one from a Democrat and one from a Republican. Joining me with more, David Hawkins, senior editor at CQ Roll Call. So there are some things going on Capitol Hill this week.
Well, there are. You know, there are always bills getting introduced, and there are always people laying down legislative markers on important topics. It's just the real question is, will anything come of either of these bills? And I think one of them is actually, my prediction would be that it has a chance because it is being introduced by a freshman senator from South Dakota, a Republican named Mike Rounds. He wrote an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal on Monday announcing this bill, and lo and behold, this is the week that he and the other members of the Senate Armed Services Committee are marking up in secret their National Defense Authorization Act is the long term for it. Others just call it the Defense Authorization Bill. So I think it's a pretty safe prediction that he is unveiling this right before he tries and will probably succeed on getting it included in this year's Defense Authorization Bill.
And this bill would require some pretty heavy lifting in a piece of policy from the administration, correct?
That's true. Essentially what the bill would do and what this language would do if he gets it added to the Defense Authorization Bill would be to require the administration to come up with a definition of what sort of cyber attack constitutes an act of war. Senator Round's position, which is, you know, it's pretty easy to understand, is that while the United States military has a clear understanding of a traditional sort of brick-and-mortar or on-the-ground act of war, aggressive acts by other countries in cyberspace are ill-defined. We really haven't come up with a definition for how this works, and more in the 21st century, this is going to be the kind of way that other countries try and mess with the U.S. So this is his proposal. It's unclear to me whether this would be something that would fall to the Obama administration to get done before it walks out the door in January, or whether it would fall to the probably Clinton or Trump administrations to do.
And I guess Senator Rounds says he was appalled by the fact that the military didn't really have a coherent response to how it would respond if there was something that could be constituted as an act of war. So I guess he's worried about both the definition of it so they know when to act,
right,
and whether they know how to act.
How to act, correct.
In case it happens.
That's right. It's both halves of that decision tree, or both branches of that decision tree, he thinks were the Pentagon is currently not prepared on, that it's essentially our planning for this is behind the operational realities that are developing in our new century.
And also on the Senate side, Senator Wyden, the Democrat from Oregon, has something for the civilian side of government, and he wants to limit the powers of electronic surveillance, I guess you might call it, of the Justice Department.
That's right, and I would say, so Senator Wyden, as a Democrat, probably has less chance with this than the Republican Senator Rounds. It's also the case that while Senator Rounds happens to be on the committee that would move such a bill and is in the majority, and Senator Wyden, I'm not sure he's got although he's on the Intelligence Committee, I'm not sure he's got the automatic legislative leverage to get done what he wants to get done, especially when he is going against the Obama Justice Department at this point. Essentially, the issue here is whether a warrant for an electronic search is good for sort of a one-time only warrant, or whether it can be used multiple times for multiple different searches. The Justice Department wants a broader definition to allow one warrant to be applied sort of several different ways and times, and Senator Wyden, who has long been trying to clip this kind of He's sort of the leading Democratic voice against expansive eavesdropping powers, says this is too broad, and he's going to try and block it.
I guess Justice is saying, well, particularly the FBI, we can't tell exactly where a given device that could be the source of cyber issues or criminality is located. And so they're looking for a broad net, if you will, under a given warrant. And he's saying they should be, and Senator Wyden, I guess the contention is, that a warrant should be treated as it would be for a physical search, this address and this address only.
Correct. That's a great way of summing it up. And I think the Justice Department's position is, I'm no expert on criminal law, but the other sort of old world analogy is that the Justice Department wanted to be able to have one warrant apply to any cell phone, for example, any burner phone that somebody might be carrying. And there was a whole debate over whether you had to get one warrant for every phone number or just one warrant for every phone owned by a certain person. And our era is an era in which the technology is robust enough to sort of outstrip traditional law enforcement. And every time law enforcement thinks of one way to go after something, technology allows a workaround. And this has been going on since the 1980s when the government was trying to outlaw certain chemical formulas of drugs, and the chemists would just come up with, change one little molecule and get around the formula.
We're speaking with David Hawking, senior editor at CQ Roll Call, and we're getting to the point in the election where we have presumptive nominees, and so we might be hearing more about who their running mates might be and maybe what some of their policies might be. And you've got some speculation on who you say Donald Trump might nominate, and I think that person you name could have a lot of effect on federal agencies as something of a technocrat himself.
That's right. So I wrote a column that appeared in over the weekend, sort of, I guess, making the case that a plausible, very plausible Donald Trump running mate would be Newt Gingrich, the first Republican Speaker of the House in 40 years in the late 1990s, somebody who sort of got both an insider. He was sort of the ultimate Republican outsider in his day. He brought the Republicans into power in the House for, the first time in four decades. He actually got some bipartisan things done. He got welfare reform done. He got the budget, helped get the budget balanced for the first time in a long time with Bill Clinton, even as he was excoriating the Democrats. So he's got sort of an ability to be sort of a partisan warrior and a deal maker at the same time. He is a bit of a technocrat. The old cliche about Newt Gingrich is he's got a three-drawer file cabinet filled with ideas, and there's probably one file folder in there of really plausible ideas and one sheet of paper in that file folder of a brilliant idea, but he's never at a loss for ideas. So when he was the Speaker, had many ideas of ways of sort of tinkering with the way the federal government works. He is absolutely somebody who is well-versed in policy at a whole host of levels. Anyway, my position was he also wants the job, clearly, that Trump could do worse than ask for somebody who's got an insider reputation, an outsider reputation, and wants the job.
And do you think we'll hear from either side, the Trump camp or the Clinton camp, before their respective conventions?
I think probably close to the conventions. I think it's just, you know, Donald Trump only realized he was going to be actually have secured the Republican nomination only a week ago now. It seems like a long time ago, but it's really only a week ago. I think one would have to hope that both, you know, so Trump's now ahead of Clinton, that he takes it deliberatively. He has said, he knows that he needs to start acting more presidential. People always say this is the first presidential level decision a candidate gets to make is picking a running mate. I think you'd have to assume that he's going to have somewhat of a deliberative process. And Secretary Clinton, meanwhile, you know, she's still got to wrap this thing up with Senator Sanders, who's actually going to be on a bit of a role in the next couple of weeks, winning a couple of more primaries. So she has not put this one away yet and can't start her own deliberative process. All that by way of saying there's still going to be enough time after both nominees are settled for considered, detailed vetting and unveiling the nominees right before the conventions.
David Hawkings is senior editor at CQ Roll Call. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
You can share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends. 55 past the hour. This is the Federal Drive with Tom Temin. Follow us on facebook.com/Federal News Radio and on Twitter. Our handle is @FedNewsRadio. Up next, the top national and federal headlines. I'm Tom Temin.